I know immediately that I've made a mistake. Mo stops and glares at me.
I'm a philosopher with a sideline in folk history, she hisses angrily. What do you take me for?
I'm sorry. I take a step back. I've got to make sure. That's all.
I shan't be offended then.
I get a creepy feeling that she means exactly what she says.
No, it's just I'm certain, no, positive in the exact meaning of the word, that it's not that. A calculus of belief, a theory for deriving confidence limits in statements of unsubstantiated faith, can't have any military applications, can it?
Did you say faith? I ask, hot and cold chills running up and down my spine. Specifically, you can analyze the validity of a belief without... I stop.
Let's not get too technical without a whiteboard, hmm?
Faith can mean several things, depending on who uses the word, I say. A theologian and a scientist mean different things by it, for example, and unsubstantiated has a dismayingly technical ring to it. But let's take a hypothetical example. Suppose I assert that I believe in flying pigs. I haven't seen any, but I have reason to believe that flying peccaries, a related species, exist. You're saying you could place confidence limits on my belief. Quantify the probability of those porcine aviators existing.
It works, she shrugs. The numbers are out there. It's a platonic universe. All we can see are the shadows on the wall of the cave. But there are real numbers out there. They have an existence in and of themselves.
I just began looking into probabilistic metrics that can be applied to assertions of a theological nature. There are some interesting documents in the Wilmarth folklore collection at Miskatonic.
Aha. Uh-huh.
We round a corner, and there's an odd little clearing ahead, ringed with trees, with a hillside rising from the far end. So we're back to the old idea of a real universe, and an observable one. And all we know about is what we can observe. So, the Department of Strategic Folklore in the Pentagon was concerned about you showing other people where to find their high-altitude hams. She stops and looks at me, frankly sizing me up. She comes to some sort of decision because, after a moment, she answers,
I think they were more worried about the creatures that cast the shadows on the walls. In particular, the ones that ate the USS Thresher and a certain Russian whiskey-class hunter-killer about 30 years ago.
When I return to my hotel room that evening, the man in the plaid shirt from the bar is waiting for me. He's got a federal ID card, a warrant, and an attitude problem.
Sit down, shut up, and listen, he begins. I'm going to say this once, and once only. Then you're going to get the hell out of town, because if you're still on this continent in 24 hours, I'm going to have you arrested.
I drop my jacket on the back of my chair.
Who are you, and what are you doing here?
I said shut up.
He produces a laminated card, and I make a show of looking at it. It says, basically, that someone who may or may not be in front of me works for the Office of Naval Intelligence, assuming I'd know an ONI pass if I tripped over one by accident. I think for a moment that he's unusually trusting for a law enforcement officer. They usually make with the guns before they go in. Then I realize why, and stifle a shudder. His eyes are dead, and there's a funny-looking scar on his forehead, which means the mind animating the body is probably in a bunker miles away.
As far as I'm concerned, today you are a tourist. If you're still here tomorrow, I will have to investigate the possibility that you are a foreign national engaged in activities detrimental to the security of this nation. But unless you tell me you're working for the laundry right here and now, I don't have to act on that information until 1800 hours tomorrow. Am I making myself clear?
What's the laundry?
I ask, doing my best to look puzzled. He snorts.
Wise guy, huh? Get this through your head. We have wards and sensoids and watchers. We know who you people are. We've got you covered. We know where you live. We know where your dog goes to school. Get it?
I shrug. I think you're making a mistake.
Well.
He tries the number 4 Marine Sergeant glare again, but it bounces off me.
You're wrong. We don't make mistakes. You've just spent the past 2 hours speaking to a national security asset, and we don't like that, Mr. Howard. We don't like it at all.
Normally, we just pull her security clearance and sling her ass on the next flight out. But the piece you've been talking to may be carrying around some items in her head that are not going to be allowed out of this country. Understand? The matter is under review. And if you happen to have overheard anything you shouldn't have, we're not going to let you out either. Luckily for you, we happen to know she didn't tell you anything important. Now, make yourself a history of not being here, and you'll be all right.